All right, Rebbe, say good morning. So we find ourselves this morning on Daf Gimel. Actually, we're going to begin on Daf Beis, Amud Beis. I want to take a special opportunity to welcome Eliezer Levine, who has joined our shir, Baruch Hashem. A pleasure to have you here. I think it's our first two-generation Daf Yomi father-son group, Baruch Hashem. We should all be Zolcha Mirtz Hashem to one day be in a shir with our own children. Okay, so we'll say, so we picked up, we're picking up again, Beis Amud Beis, three lines up from the bottom, Ela Rava. So we'll say, remember again, just to reorient ourselves a little bit. So Rava made a statement at the beginning of the Daf, or at the beginning, in the middle of Amud Beis, of Ein Ones Begitin. The concept of that there are no extenuating circumstances. There are no extenuating circumstances in Gittin, which means Rabbi said that if a person gives a get, and that get has a condition attached to it, and he was unable to satisfy the condition because of some type of extenuating circumstance, that extenuating circumstances are not a valid claim by Gittin, and the get will still be valid. So we're trying to find a proof to that idea. So the Gemara therefore says, Ela Rava, Svara Danaf Sheikamar. Rather, Rava was just, when Rava says, In Ones Begin, that was his own personal Svara. Why was the Svara based on? Mishum Tsinuos Mishum Prutos. Because of the women who are exceptionally or exceedingly modest, and because of the Prutos, because of the women who are immoral. What does that mean? Mishum Tsinuos. So we have to make this Gzera because of Tsinuos. He says, The I Amrit Loli Haviget. Because if you say that Yesh Ones Begin, and therefore if there's an extension, any circumstance, the get will not be valid. Top of Gimel, Zinnin Delo Onis. Sometimes a man will not come back. Meaning, let's say he made a condition. This is the get. If I don't come back for 30 days, and he doesn't come back, because of extenuating circumstances. He doesn't fail to return because of extenuating circumstances. Rather, what? He gets lazier. He decides to extend his weekend. Whatever it is, Visavra, and she assumes the Onis. She assumes ultimately again that he is an ones, umeagno and uviyasva, and she'll go ahead and essentially she'll prevent herself from getting remarried, even though technically she's permitted to, and she'll go ahead and she'll remain as an aguno. So that umishum prutzos. And what about women who are prutzos? Di amrit lo lehavegita, because if you say that it's not going to be a get, zimnin de ones, sometimes again he really will have extenuating circumstances, va'amra lo ones, and she will claim that no, he was not an ones, and therefore she will get remarried. Therefore, Rabosai, Rava says, essentially, in order to avoid all problems, sometimes it's just easier to legislate on the front end, ein ones begin, which means what, Rabosai, which actually creates a very simple model, which is, if you make a tenai for a get, you make a condition for a get, and you hinge that conditional get on your arrival, or your return to your home, or to a particular place within a certain amount of time, and you don't get there, or any other condition, if the condition is not fulfilled, we don't launch an investigation as to why the condition wasn't fulfilled. If it wasn't fulfilled, then what? Then at the end of the day, again, the get is a get. And therefore, again, essentially, Rava says, let's just remove any obstacles from anyone. No extenuating circumstances by get. If you make the condition and fail to go ahead and perform and fulfill the condition, the get will be a valid get. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Listen to this. This is actually a very interesting kasha. Midda oraisa, on a biblical level, a claim of onis, a claim of extenuating circumstances, is a valid claim. Now we'll say, where do we know that from? So it's actually interesting. Rashi says, Ula na'ara lo sa'asad davri. You know where we learn it from? We learn it ultimately again from the case of the na'ara hama'ura, so the woman who was betrothed, who was violated by a man. So what are the ramifications of that act on the woman? Right? And the answer is nothing. She was violated. Something happened against her will. It was extenuating circumstances. So from there, what the Gemara is suggesting, from there we see that midda oraisa, a claim of extenuating circumstances, is a valid claim. So let's play this out. Reuven says to his wife Rachel, This is your get. If I don't return within 30 days. And what happens? Reuven comes to the edge of the city and he can't, you know, the police blocked off the road. He said, what can I do? Extenuating circumstances. So what does Rava say? What's the halacha? What's the status of the get? It's a good get. He didn't return. Now, what the Gemara is asking is, now, mid oraisa, what's the status of that get? Mid oraisa, that get should be batal. That get should be bottled because, again, the Torah recognizes extenuating circumstances. The Gemara says, are you telling me now that a get that would be that should be biblically invalid is going to be rabbinically valid. And I understand the ramification of that, which means that you're taking a woman who is biblically married and you are going to allow her to marry someone else. To which the Gemara says, yep, in. Yeah, that is correct. Kol de mekadesh adaita de rabbanan mekadesh, because anyone who gets married, the rabbis are the ones who created the framework of marriage. When you get married, adaita de rabbanan, you get married with the das that the rabbis have legislated your marriage. Va'afkinu rabbanan likidush shemine. And Rabbi says, essentially what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that we're not really going against biblical law. Instead, what the rabbis are doing in this case, when they say ein ones begitin, in these type of cases, they are ultimately retroactively annulling the marriage. Rabbi says, just interestingly enough, look at Tosis. Tosis, adaita de rabbanan mekadesh, lachin umrim b'shas kidushin, Kidas Moshe Yisrael. So this is the source. That's why it says Tosos, which I will say something also amazing. You know, sometimes you see people that like they want to make changes to this, they want to make changes to that, they want to change this practice or that practice. And you know, one of the most beautiful things we have in Judaism is that so many of the things we do are thousands of years old. Like, we've been doing the same thing. So do you understand what this means? It means that from the times already of Tosos, a man was mekadesh a woman in the same exact way. Hari'at mekudesh esli. Maybe it wasn't a tabas. Maybe it was kesef. Presumably it was the kedas Moshe v'Yisro. Those are the words that mamish come. I'm sure it could be that it even predated Tosas. Sounds like it's even times of the Gemara. But says Tosas, this is the source for our formulation that we use today. There it says Amar le Ravina Ravashi. Ravina says Ravashi, teinach kadesh bekaspa. I understand if you want to say that the rabbis retroactively annulled marriage. I understand that works if he was mekadesh with money. Because they will say, then what happens? Then what's the status of that money? The status of that money is you could change it from kesef kiddushin to what? To a gift. We consider a matana. However, kiddush kadesh bebia ma'ikel emeimar. But I will say, what happens if he was mekadesh with bia? Right? Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, kadesh bebia mai. Afkasa meikara ika bishlama ayide get kasher. Af api shakidushin kaim adakshav gzer sakasafi shaget karso. Actually, we could leave this till later. So the Tosa says, Rashi Sigmara says, so what happens if he was Makadish with Bia? So what happens in that time? How do you reframe that Bia? To which the Gemara says, Shavyuhu rabbanan le bi'ila, so bi'ilas znus. Yeah, einachinami. In Achinami, the rabbis will go ahead and they reframe that bia as a bias znus. So therefore, again, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that when the rabbis said, ein ones begin, and we'll discuss what the halacha is, but when the rabbis say, ein ones begin, essentially what they're saying is, we don't accept the claim of ones. Now, obviously, I can't contradict biblical law, but what the rabbis absolutely can do is to go ahead and what? Is to retroactively annul the marriage. Yanki, there's a sita. It's retroactively I'm not going to go on. And retroactively annul the marriage, and therefore ultimately releasing her from it. Ika da amri, others explain, amarava v'chein le'inyan gim. Now, both say, others explain that there's a different. Now, remember, in this entire version, what's been happening here is the following. This is all going with the approach that Rava holds, ein ones begin. There is no claim of extenuating circumstances in gin. However, others have a different version. Amar Rava v'chein le'inyan gin. Alma kasava Rava yesh ones begin. Now, remember, how do we get into this mess? Right? How do we get into this discussion? We got into this discussion because we were speaking about the claim of ones when it comes to financial support of a man for his wife. Now, remember again, after the year elapses, after Kiddushin, a man has to begin, even if he doesn't yet marry her, he has to assume financial support of her. But remember, the exception to that rule is what? Is if there's some type of onus, some type of extenuating circumstance that prevents the wedding from occurring. So the Gemara then, Rava, then you applied that model and said, oh, the same halacha applies by Gittin. In this version, Rava holds that the same model applies by Gittin, and therefore Amakasava Rava Yesh Ones Begin. Rava holds that there is a claim of extenuating circumstances in Get. So Rava say, according to this approach of Rava, Rava holds that if a man makes a condition, and he says the get will be fulfilled if I don't come back within 30 days, for argument's sake. And he doesn't come back within 30 days, but it's because of extenuating circumstances that what would be the halacha? That the get would be void. That's what it means when it says yesh onis begin. There is a claim of extenuating circumstances by get, and therefore, if you are subject to extenuating circumstances, you could void the get. So the Gemara raises the kash. So this is an alternate version of Rav's statement, because this entire time, meaning through most of Beis Amud Beis and the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, we've been working with the assumption that Rav holds ein onis begin. Now in this version, it's yesh onis begin. It's amazing. So it says the Gemara Mesve. The Gemara raises the kash. Hari zegiteich. Now the Gemara is going to quote virtually all of the same cases that we had in yesterday's daf, but now this way quoted again in accordance with this version. So Mesve, Hari zegiteich im lo basim ikar vach nimasar chodesh. So if a man says to his wife, "This is your get. If I don't come back within 12 months." Umeis, and he died besoch shnei masar chodesh within the 12 months. So what's the halacha? Ain't no get. It's not a get. Now the Gemara infers meisu de ain't no get. Now the reason it's not a get is because he's dead. And why? And there's no get in get la achar misa. There is no get after death. Ha chala hareze get. Now what we could infer from here is what? What we could infer from here is that Lamaisa, if he became sick, then it would be a valid get. If he became sick, it would be a valid get. And I will say, now, what does that tell you? If he became sick, it would be a valid get. Now, that tells you that Lamaisa, even though there's an ones, right, we don't respect the claim of ones. We say, in ones begin, and therefore this contradicts what Rava was saying before, to which the Gemara says, no, li'olam im l'cha chalanami eno get. Not sure, I could tell you, even in a case where he got sick, it also wouldn't be a get, meaning that yesh onis begin, I vihi gufa kamash malan de'in get la'achar misa. And what this price is coming to teach us is that there is no get that can take effect after the death of a husband. In get la'achar misa. If that's what you're coming to teach, that there's no get after death, hot tana l'resha. We've already learned that explicitly in the resha, in the beginning of that brisa, to which the Gemara says, no, dilma la'afuki midrabo senu. That is coming to go ahead and exclude the position of the rabbis. Then I will say, now what does that mean, coming to exclude the position of the rabbis? So I hope you get a couple of chairs here. Thank you. So what does that mean, coming from us? Remember, we had the position of the rabbis yesterday, that the Rabboseinu said, Zmano shel shtar mochiach. Remember the rabbis, remember this, right? The rabbis are the ones who said that, one of the reasons we date a get is to essentially put into every single get a retroactivity clause. That when you have a date and you have a condition that hinges the effectiveness on the get on some future event, that Lamaisa, the rabbis mean to say that is really a retroactivity clause. So perhaps the Gemara is suggesting that it's coming to exclude the position of the Rabboseinu. Fine. Tashma. Me'achshav. Another case. Me'achshav im lo basi mikan mach nimasar chodesh. If a man says to his wife, the get is valid now from this moment, if I don't come back from now until 12 months. So we'll say, now this is a different kind of case. This is a me'achshav from now. So what's the halacha? Umeis besoch shnei masar chodesh. And he dies within 12 months. Hare ze get. Such a get is a good get. So the Gemara says, now this case is a little bit easier. Why is this case a little bit easier? Because me'achshav, wherever you put a retroactivity clause, so that means if you don't come back at the end of 12 months, the get is retroactively chal, is retroactively valid to when? To the date of the actual get. So the Gemara says, my love, who adin l'chola. Is this not true, even if it's the same case, if one became sick, right? And therefore you see that even if one was sick and therefore couldn't come back, the get is still valid, which tells you, ein ones begitin. To which the Gemara says, lo meis dafka. No, this is only in the case of where he died. D'lo necha d'tipo kamayavim. Because Rabbi said, we know that very often these type of situations were arranged in order to go ahead and help a woman avoid falling into a yibum situation. Tashma, me'ahuda amar lehu. So the Gemara tries to bring another raya. According from the man who said to his wife, ilo asina mikan vad shloshim yom, if I don't come back within 30 days, lehavi gita, your get shall be valid. Asa basof tlasin yom, and the man came back at the end of 30 days, and what happened? Upaski mavra, the bridge broke. Va'amar lehu chazu da'asai, chazu da'asai. And the man's jumping up and down, and he's saying, I'm back. And I was saying, what? Yeah, we say, v'amar shmo, no, you're not. Lo shmei masya, you're not back, right? You're not back. Back means where? Back means back in the city. You're in the bridge that's not far from the city, but Lamaisi not in the city. So we'll say, so what do you see from there? Now that seems to be a clear, unequivocal case that what? That ain ones begitin. That there is no claim of extenuating circumstances by a get, because again, ain ones gedolim mizu. The guy's mamish back. He's back. He can't go ahead. He can't get off the exit, right? He can't go ahead and cross the footbridge into the town, but he's back already, and yet we still say no, the get is valid. So that seems to paint a picture, ultimately, again, of ein onis begin. There is no claim of extenuating circumstances by gittin. To which the Gemara says, no, that might not be a good proof. Why? Onsa de shriach shiny. See, I will say, apparently, vizmana Gemara, so footbridges collapsing was maisim b'chol yom. That was very common. Therefore, if you're going to make a tenai for a get, and you know that there's the possibility of a small incident like this happening, you need to build that into your condition. Meaning, so therefore, there's a very easy way. Either say, not into the town, but say, if I make it to the footbridge. Right? Meaning, there are ways that you could plan ahead for what we call a onis teshchiach, a common extenuating circumstances. And the fact that you did not do so, right? Shiny, this case is different. Onsa the shriach shiny, a common extenuating circumstance is different. He should have built a provision for this into his tenai, velo asni, and he did not. Therefore, ihu da'af sid anav shei. Therefore, it turns out that what? That he is the one who really caused himself to go ahead and lose out. So I will say, just interestingly enough, the way we paskin over here with this, let me just show you this quickly. So the Shulchan Aruch in Evana Ezer, this is Kuf Mem Dalet Aleph. So the Shulchan Aruch in Evana Ezer writes the following. He says, so remember, we'll say, what's fascinating about this and riveting about this and kind of is not going to allow us to sleep tonight unless we resolve this, is we have two alternate versions in Rava, right? Two opposite versions in Rava. The first version in Rava says, ain onis begitin, right? There are no extenuating circumstances in get. Second version of Rava says, Yeshonis begin. Mamish two polar opposite approaches of the same statement of Rava. So how do we pass? In Shulchan Aruch, this is Evana Ezer, Kuf Mem Dalid Aleph. Amar La, we'll say again, obviously, every time I quote you Alacha, there's always more to it, but at least it's important that when we do a Sugya, you get some bottom line to the Sugya. So look what he writes. Amar La, Harezek Yitechim La Avabasoch Lamayom. Man says to his wife, this is your get if I don't return within 30 days. Osha Amar, Al Manas Shalo, Aval Besoch Lamid Yom, or if I don't come out, fine. Doesn't really matter the cases. Vahaya Baba Dech Besoch Lamid Yom, and he was traveling back home to be back home within the 30 days. Vachala, he got sick. He wound up in the hospital. Oh, Akvanar, or the river was swollen, he couldn't cross it. Vilopa Ad Achalamid Yom. In other words, you're both saying, what is the Shulchan Aruch describing over here? Ones cases, some type of extenuating circumstance came up that prevented him from coming home. So what is the halacha? Hare ze get. The get is valid, or in other words, how do we paskin? Ein ones begin. There are no extenuating circumstances when it comes to get. He says, afilu omeid v'tzavach. Even if he's jumping up and down and he says, hareini anos, right? I want to be back, but I can't be. My leg is broken. I'm in the hospital, right? The river's swollen. I can't get across. Nevertheless, Shulchan Aruch says, she'ein ones begin. Halacha l'maisa, we say there are no extenuating circumstances in get. And even though what? Va'af al-pi she'gila daito, she'ein ratzona l'garish. Even though he's saying, honey, I love you. Right, you love her, you gave her the get, 30 days. Okay, and leave that aside. The truth is, there are many reasons why a man would do that. If a man was traveling by sea, didn't want to create an aguna situation, I love you, I'm back. Nevertheless, in ones begin. He says, Kevin Shalom, Hisna Chutzmi Mikreni Ones. Now, both say, because remember, the Shulchan Aruch says that there's a way to save yourself from this. What's the way to save yourself from this whole situation? A man gives his wife a get and he says to her, Hare Zegitech Amenas. So this is your get. If I don't come back in 30 days, Chutz Me Ones. You could stipulate that. You could say that this is your get if I don't come back within 30 days, as long as I'm not back, as long as it's not because of an extenuating circumstance that I'm not back. You could build that into your tenai. The fact that he did not build that into the tenai, then the halacha does not recognize the onus. So the Shulchan Aruch goes on with other cases. Rabbi said, that is halacha l'maisa, how we paskin, Ein ones begitin. There is no claim of extenuating circumstances by get. Yet again, yet what's important is you can make ones provisions. So if you go ahead and you say this is your get, if I don't return back within 30 days, but if parentheses right star, but if I am precluded because of extenuating circumstances from returning, then the get is void. You could legislate that. If you don't legislate that, then halacha lemaisa ein ones begitin. I'm going to show by Yitzchak. We'll say weiter. I'm going to show by Yitzchak. Lo shanu ela mitakanas Ezra ve'elich. So we'll say, listen to this. Now we're going back. Remember, so how did the Mishnah start off? The Mishnah started off by saying, Basula nises liyom ravi. A Basula gets married on Wednesday. Why does a Basula get married on Wednesday? Because in the event that after the wedding night, the husband finds that she is not a Basula, we want him to go to Beis Din as quickly as possible to be able to be mevarer, to be able to work out what it is exactly happened over here. Because I thought I was marrying a Basula. She's not a Basula. So did what we're supposed to remember again. What we are concerned about, this is not like an honor thing, right? That I thought I was getting. This is a halachic thing. That what I'm concerned about is, was there adultery that occurred? Because the assumption when I was Mekadesh is that she was a Basula. If something happened between the time of Kiddushin and now, it's important that that comes out. So by taking her to Beis Din, Rashi says, there's a call. If there's a call, then perhaps if something did happen, if there are Edom out there, Edom will come and testify. So it says the Gemara, so this idea of a Basula getting married on a Wednesday is only from Takanas Ezra and Elich. Now, what was Takanas Ezra? What did Ezra legislate? Ezra said that Bate Din are in session on Mondays and Thursdays. So, okay, if you have a system of Bate Din sitting in session on Mondays and Thursdays, then you get married on a Wednesday. Aval Kodim Takanas Ezra, before Takanas Ezra, Shebate Din Kivum B'chol Yom, where Bate Din met every single day, Isha Nises B'chol Yom, right? A woman could get married any day, because if Beis Din is in session every single day, then what, Rabosai? Then there'll always be a Beis Din in session the morning after the wedding, no matter what day I get married. Kodim Takanas Ezra, Mai Dehava Hava. Who cares about what happened before Takanas Ezra? You'll excuse me. What's the past is the past. What does that mean? If you're getting married before Takanas Ezra, you get married whenever you want. After Takanas Ezra, Mondays and Thursdays. Wednesdays. But okay, we're living after Takanas Ezra, so why do you have to tell me if I'm getting married? No one's getting married before Takanas Ezra anymore. The past is the past. Hachikam, what's the Gemara means to say? Iika bate din dikvun ha'itna ke kodem Takanas Ezra isha niseis b'chol yom. Oh, what it means to say, Rabosei, is if you live in a place where Bate Din meet every day, like they did before Takanas Ezra, then what? You can get married any day you want. Okay, so if you happen to live in a locale where Beis Din sits every single day, you get married whatever day you want. But Rabosei, we said yesterday, because remember, using the logic that you have to get married essentially on the day before Beis Din is in session, you should be able to get married when? On Sunday also, meaning assuming Beis Din only sits in session on Mondays and Thursdays, Takanas Ezra, so why does the Mishnah only say get married on Wednesday? You should be able to get married on Sunday also, to which the Gemara says, Shaktu Chachamat Kras Benos Yisrael. The rabbis wanted to make sure it was the man who was responsible for preparing for the wedding feast. The rabbis wanted to make sure that the man had at least 3 days to be able to prepare for the wedding feast. Therefore, if you make weddings on Wednesday, so you have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. If you make weddings on Sunday, the problem is everything has to be done before Shabbat. And that's a tall order, to which the Gemara says, Ditarichle. No, we're talking about a case where the man did all the necessary preparations before Shabbos, and therefore, technically speaking, he can go in and get married even on a Sunday. So the Gemara says, my shakdu. So first of all, what does this mean, shakdu? I mean, what is this nature of this enactment? Now, the Gemara is going to restate what we learned yesterday. Tisanya, mipnei ma amru besula nises liyom ravi. Why is it that the rabbi said that a besula gets married on a Wednesday? Because this way, if after the wedding night, the husband has a claim that his wife wasn't a Basula, so he has the ability to go to Beis Din the next morning. Sa'ai asks the Gemara, V'tinosei be'echad b'Shabbos, V'mhayolo tainas besulim hayam ashkim le'Beis Din. So again, let them get married on a Sunday, and if they get married on a Sunday, if he has a tainas besulim, if he has a claim against that she's not a Basula, they can go to Beis Din on Monday morning, to which the Gemara answers, Shaktu chachamim al takanos b'nos Yisrael. So the rabbis, Rabbi says, literally, shaktu means they were vigilant. the rabbis were vigilant about the welfare of the Jewish girls, that a man, the husband, should prepare the suda for 3 days. Echad b'Shabbos, Sheni b'Shabbos, Shlishi b'Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, u'berevi'i konsa, and let them get married on Wednesday. The Rebbe said, now this is also amazing, by the way. It's so fascinating that the Chachamim are concerned over here. They want the woman to have an appropriate suda. See, Rebbe say things don't change that much. See, for a man, the good food at the wedding consists of what? What? Right, like the hot dogs and the blankets. The truth is, right, as long as those are an ample supply, so the truth is most of the men are going to be just fine. Right, but for the women, the Chacham wanted to make sure that he's preparing, and by the way, it's not just for the wedding, this is for Sheva Brachos as well. The Chazal wanted to make sure that L'maisa, again, the husband is going and taking the necessary and proper measures to ensure that the wedding suda and the Sheva Brachos afterwards are going to be appropriate. Therefore, again, although technically speaking, because of you could satisfy the Beis Din requirement by getting married on Sunday, but Sunday doesn't take care of the Suuda requirement. Therefore, there's pretty much only one day of the week that satisfies both the Beis Din requirement and the Suuda requirement, and that's Wednesday. Wednesday is good because Thursday morning Beis Din is in session, and Wednesday is good because you have Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday to prepare for the Suda. However, the Gemara now says something very, very meaningful or very profound. From the times of danger and on, Nahagu ha'am lichnos b'shlishi. The people would get married on Tuesday. V'lomichu b'yadam chachamim. And the rabbis did not object to this particular practice. Furthermore, again, we're just going to finish off this braisa. V'imachmas ha'ones. U'b'sheni lo yichnos. But you should not get married on a Monday. You should not get married on a Monday. However, look at Rashi. U'b'sheni lo yichnos. B'shvil osa sakana. So actually, we'll see that in the Gemara. So you shouldn't get married on a Monday. However, but if there's some extenuating circumstance, you can get married on a Monday. So listen to this. So we have three stages so far. So stage number one is you're getting married on a Wednesday. That's number one. However, the Gemara says from Sakana, we don't know what the Sakana is yet, but we'll learn. From Sakana and on, they used to get married. Nogu, the Minog was to get married on Tuesday, and the rabbis did not object. However, you shouldn't get married on a Monday, unless, of course, there's an onus, an extenuating circumstance. But if there's an extenuating circumstance, you get married even on a Monday. Okay, so we're going to discuss what all of that means. One last piece of information. U'mafrishin es ha'chasa min ha'kala lele shabbos t'chila mipnei shu oseh chabura. Now, Bosse, this we're going to spend time on as well. And if the chasa and the kala get married on Friday, now, Bosse, understand, Friday weddings were very common. The truth is, this is actually a renewed trend in Eretz Yisrael now as well. It's very interesting. It was my first time I was ever at a morning wedding, a Friday morning wedding. It's amazing. So they used to get married. They didn't get married as much in the morning. They got married more in the afternoon. Now, the logic behind that, by the way, it's an economic measure as well. Because this way, again, you don't have to have two su'udos. You don't have to have two su'udos. You get married on Friday afternoon, and then your wedding su'udas, your su'udas Shabbos as well. One meal. So the Gemara says over here that if the wedding took place on Erev Shabbos, we do not allow the Chasan and Kala to be alone together on Friday night, their first night of their married life. Because the Gemara said we do not want the Bia Rishona, the first act of relations, to occur on a Shabbos. Why? Because again, a Oseh Chabura creates an injury for a woman. Now we'll discuss this, that ultimately again, so let's say causing bleeding on Shabbos is a problem of Shochet. It's a told of Shechita. So the idea of causing any kind of injury that causes bleeding ultimately is halachically problematic. So the Bryce is suggesting over here that would apply to the rupturing of the hymen. That would apply also to the Bia Rishona. And therefore, again, Bia Rishona cannot go ahead and occur on Friday night. Now, we're going to discuss this extensively. This is just a statement over here from a Bryce. So we'll see what the halacha is. But that's the Bryce suggesting here. So now, we'll say now that we're going to go back and unravel this Bryce piece by piece. My Sakana. So let's say, remember, the Gemara, the Bryce made a very dramatic statement that we normally get married on Wednesday, unless, but when it was a time of sakana, of danger, they went ahead and they got married on a Tuesday. So the Gemara says, what sakana are we talking about? If you're talking about that it was a time where we were oppressed, and there was some type of edict that if a woman got married, if a Basula got married on Wednesday, she'd be put to death. So what are you talking about that we move it to Wednesday, that we move it to Tuesday? So the Gemara says, Nagu, what does it mean it was customary to get married on Tuesday? Legamre niakre. I will say, if there's a threat of death for getting married on Wednesday, it's not just that we have a minhag to get married on Tuesday. If there's a threat of death that hovers over getting married on Wednesday, we don't get married on Wednesdays. It's not a nagu. We just totally uproot the practice of getting married on Wednesday. We'll figure out the rest. Amar Rabba, no. It's not a case of being put to death. Rather, the amre besula hanises biyom harvi'i. Rather, we're talking about a practice which we know was historically occurred, that if the truth is, the Medrash Chanukah brings down that it was this practice that sparked the Hasmonean revolt, that sparked the Hashmonai revolt, that the Hashmonai were so repulsed by this, they were able to deal with all the other edicts, but this edict that when a woman got married, she had to spend her wedding night with the local Greek governor first, and then she would go home to her husband. This practice was so disgusting in the eyes of the Chashmonaim that this is what caused them to revolt. So in any event, so Rabbi says that's what we're talking about. That the legislation was if you get married on a Wednesday, you have to go ahead and have relations with the local governor first. To which the Gemara says, well, one second, hi sakana, that's not called sakana, that's ones, right? That's extenuating circumstance. That's what it's violating. You know, both say sakana normally means something for which there's a threat of death. This is horrific. This is immoral, but we wouldn't call it sakana. To which the Gemara says, and I'll tell you why. He says, Kevan Mishum de'ika tsnuos de masra nafshay lekatla. No, because there were some very modest women who would sooner give their lives, meaning they would resist until death. They would resist until death. That there are women who simply would not submit to the governor, and therefore, again, it actually did become an issue of sakanas nefashos. The asyon lidei sakana. So Gemara says, one second, v'lidrosh lu. So why don't then you teach the women da'one sharnabo? Now this gets into a very complicated sugya, which we are actually going to do later on in this mesechta. But the Gemara says, so why don't you tell the women that one shari? Why don't you tell the women that even if they are violated by the local Greek governor, they are still permitted to their husbands? They do not have to give up their lives. Rather, meaning the Gemara is saying we're concerned that there's going to be these very modest women who are going to resist to the point where they put themselves in mortal danger. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we tell the women that they're not obligated to give their lives? This is ones. This is extenuating circumstances. I will say, I'll just point out to you over here, interestingly enough, Tosfos of V'lidrosh lu onei shari, we don't have time to do it today, but I'll just point out to you, says, what are you talking about? One of the three cardinal sins for which you are obligated to give your life is what? Is immorality. You have to give your life rather than kill someone, commit murder, idolatry, and immorality. So isn't this something you have to give your life for? So Tosfos gives two interesting answers. Rabbeinu Tam says that he says, De'ein chayoven misa bi'ilas mitzri. So Rabbeinu Tam says something very interesting. Rabbeinu Tam says that the only time you're obligated to give your life for immorality is when it's an act of immorality with another Jew. But if it's an act of immorality with a Gentile, you are not obligated to give your life. It's a fascinating sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. Tosis then brings other opinions that disagree. The other opinion, which is considered to be the more normative opinion, is what we call karka olam. So karka olam means that a woman is passive. So when are you obligated to give your life instead of engage in immorality? When you are asked to be an active participant in that immorality, or when by giving your life, you could prevent the act of immorality from happening. But because a woman could be violated against her will, and because when she is violated, she could be passive in that act, therefore, again, says Tosis, she is not obligated to give her life rather than spend the night with the local governor. So the Gemara says, tell the women that they're not obligated to give their life. Lidrosh lehu d'onei shari, to which the Gemara says, well, the problem is if we begin to advertise that, ika prutzos, so first of all, you will have some women who will take advantage of this and therefore claim that it was ones when in fact they were compliant. The ika namikonos, and Abosai, remember, this doesn't work for every single woman, because remember, again, Abosai, the wife of a kohen who is violated is prohibited to her husband. So you have some segment of the population where even if you want to say it's done against her will and it's extenuating circumstance, she will still become prohibited to her husband. To which the Abosai says, now this is so profound. So therefore, now we understand the price that if it's a time of sakana, don't get married on Wednesday, rather get married on Tuesday. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Vele akre gezira. Excuse me, vele akre. So I don't say, why are you making such a big deal about getting married on Wednesday? Right? Why don't you just make it simple? If there's a gzeira, if there's sakana, so just go ahead and say, we don't get married on Wednesday. Just essentially abolish the takana. Why are you so married to Wednesday? Look at the Gemara, says something amazing. Gzeira avida de batla. Vitakanta Rabbana Mikame Gizalakiram. But this is how profound this is. Because if there's one thing we know with absolute certainty, is that the edicts of our oppressors will come and go. But we hold the line. The idea is that if we abolish every single thing in halacha that ultimately, again, that conflicts with some type of oppressive edict, then we're going to have to throw everything out the window. One thing we have learned throughout our history is we hold the line. A Bsuli gets married on Wednesday. Obviously, we make provisions for if that can't happen. But I know that the Roman Gazir, whoever it is, that's going to fade away into the sands of time at some point in time. But we maintain a true allegiance and fidelity to our halachic standards. Therefore, we're not going to change the fact that a Bsuli gets married on a Wednesday. But we'll make provisions that if Wednesday becomes impossible, if Wednesday puts her in danger, if Wednesday ultimately, again, subjects her to certain things that we don't want her to be subjected to, then, of course, get married on Tuesday. So we'll make exceptions, but the rule will remain in place. Ihachi bishlishi nami asiyubal. But I understand if you're concerned that the woman is going to have to spend her wedding night on her wedding night with the local Roman governor. So why doesn't that concern apply on Tuesday also? Right, Mamishwat, the only comes out on Wednesdays, to which the Gemara says, yes, Misfeka lo akar nafshe. The idea of Rabosa is that apparently, so everyone who oppressed us came to learn our norms. And they knew that women got married on Wednesdays. See, he would kind of be on the prowl for women on Wednesdays. But for the other days of the week, he's not going to go ahead. The governor would not go ahead and start wasting his time looking for weddings if he does know they're definitely going to occur. However, the Gemara says, Ubisheni lo yichno. So remember again, the Braisa said that you shouldn't get married on a Monday. The imachmas ha'onis mutter. But if it's because of an extenuating circumstance, then it's mutter. So my ones, what's the extenuating circumstance? Ilei mahada amran, if you want to say, it's what we just said before about the local Roman governor, Greek governor. No, that can't be because hasam karli sakana. Because the first part of the Braisa you called the Greek governor a sakana. L'acha karli ones, and here you're calling it extenuating circumstance. V'su, furthermore, hasam nahagu. In the first part of the Braisa, you said Nagu, that the Minag became that they can get married on Tuesday. And here you're saying Hacha Mutter. Here by Monday you're saying it's Mutter. Amarava, no, what's the case? The Amri Sar Tsava Balair, where word gets out that the army, the Gentile army, is coming to town. Now, what are you concerned about if the Gentile army is coming to town? Rashi says, Sar Tsava Balair, the Yachtifu Tsarchi Su'uda Me'ashar Yimatsu. So, I will say, what happens when the army comes to town? What do you have to do when the army comes to town? Feed them. So what's the concern? The concern now is that here, the chasen has been working all of this time to prepare the beautiful chasana. And what happens when the army rolls in? That's going to be it. They're going to eat up all the food, and there's not going to be anything left to make the wedding. To which the Gemara says, so what's the case? If the army is just rolling in and rolling out, they're not going to be there for a long time. Then I will say, just delay the wedding. Just wait, kind of whatever, however you could preserve the food, or sell off the food and prepare again next week. But just wait. To which the Gemara says, Lo tzricha da'asi v'kava. No, the issue over here is they're rolling in and they're going to remain. Right, the idea over here is that they're going to go ahead and remain in the city for a while. To which the Gemara says, "Begima miha lichno." So why do you have to push? So again, I will say the assumption over here is what's happening. They're going to be coming in on Wednesday. So because they're coming in on Wednesday, the price says, "Okay, push the wedding to Monday." Why do you have to push the wedding to Monday? Why don't you just push the wedding to where? To when? To Tuesday, right? And therefore, again, you'll get married essentially have this before the army comes in. To which the Gemara answers, "Asparva di day." Begimel da asu. What's the case? I'll say the asparva. So who's the asparva? Rashi says chel mishar sav hamachinam lotzar chesuda. So who's coming in on Tuesday? So kind of like the I'm sorry.
The army caterers,
right? The cooks are coming in on Tuesday to prepare for the army coming in on Wednesday. So if the army cooks come in on Tuesday, what's going to happen? They're going to see the wedding suda. They're going to demand that food be set aside for the army. Therefore, in order to avoid this kind of issue, what did Chazal say? In this kind of case, you could even get married on a Monday. So we'll say what comes out essentially is that although the halacha is that you get married on the Wednesday, but lamais at the end of the day, if there's either a sakana chas shalom or there's even an onis, you essentially have the ability to move the wedding to whatever day would allow for the wedding to occur. But Rabosai, remember, we're still left with understanding this price. So actually, we'll stop over here for today. But remember, again, we're still trying to figure out. We have this price that teaches us. So okay, let's crystallize what we have. So what we have is a price essentially restating the din of the Mishnah of Besula Niseis Liyom Arevi. That's what we have. Except now what we've introduced is this idea that there were times throughout history where they would get married on Tuesday in order to avoid sakana, and in order to avoid financial loss, they were even able to go ahead and move the marriage ultimately to a Monday. So we're going to stop over here, but as you see, the next words are Ibais Ema. We're going to see other approaches or other opinions as to possible ones situations that would allow the moving of the wedding to a different day other than Wednesday. All right, we'll stop over here.